Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. August 16, 2020. The virus should have appeared. Question: in what situations should a person follow the majority and in which the opinion of one person? Answer: I don't think that in our time when the mass media have great power, there are such concepts as the majority and the minority. After all, those who have the media in their hands, they practically have the future of society and humanity. Those in power have long understood this, and all this is at their mercy. But the fact is that, on the one hand, this is what a person in our world wants to hold in his hands. On the other hand, the world still moves according to its own system. Therefore, upon exiting the coronavirus, we will see that nature will not allow us to restore past production, past commodity money relations. They have to change. Man is still changing. He will not strive for the past state, no matter how much the rich and those in power want it. Question: do you still hope for a change due to some external factors? Answer: maybe these are not external factors, but they already exist in society. Comment: indeed, when the coronavirus appeared, no one could have assumed that such changes would occur in society. My response: yes. We can scold China or someone else who, in our opinion, was the cause of the virus, but this is not the point. The real reason is higher than our nature, higher than what we know. This virus had to appear as humanity brought itself into a crisis. Question: do you think it is correct to use public opinion polls for decision making? Answer: in general, yes. At least they talk about how correct or not the processing of public consciousness is and how much public consciousness, after everything that happens to society and what it is stuffed with, comes to the right decision. So this data is very important. Whether they are correct or not is another question. From CAB TV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, May 7, 2020. Female commander. Comment: during the pandemic, studies were conducted and found that countries led by women were more successful in fighting the pandemic than those led by men. My response: I talk about it all the time. Men are about appearance. And the woman takes full responsibility. Just as a woman rules everything at home, so our whole world is our home. Therefore, there must be a female majordomo. Comment: psychologists at Stanford University said that a female politician should belong to the chameleon type, skillfully combining male and female political qualities. My response: that's all she has. Look at how a woman commands the house, what order she has at home. Leave your husband alone for a week, and then she'll be cleaning the apartment for a month. This is clear to everyone. Question: so it's not news to you that women are running the country? Answer: this is a fact for me. This is given to us, by nature. The house is named after the woman, not the man. Therefore, we must make women the managers of countries and men the executors of these duties. In short, you need the strong, reliable, good, smart, wise female hand. That's all. The world doesn't need anything else. We'll go fishing and play dominoes. Question: will a woman stop war? Will this stop hatred? Answer: sure. And internal wars, both in the state and between states. We are turning over in our time. We are entering a very different era in which a woman can command. And we see the world turning over. It is necessary to give women the opportunity to manage. And this is very good. The less men meddle with their inventions, children's games, the better. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, May 11, 2020. Medium published my new article A Spark of Light When Life No Longer Makes Sense. Stress, fear, loneliness and economic hardship are exacerbated by COVID-19. How will those feelings increase the risk for higher suicide rates is still a subject of study, but mental health organizations already see signs of a potential increase of the so-called deaths of despair, including drug overdose and suicide. Society cannot bury its head in the sand any longer. It needs to prepare for what lies ahead and organize the conditions to support those in need through care, warmth, and mutual responsibility. Boundless satisfaction cannot be achieved by any one of us, alone. It can be achieved only through a good connection with others, and this creates the necessary field where the eternal source of fulfillment can be revealed. After 6 months of the pandemic, we thought the virus behavior and impact had already been sorted out. However, the global plague keeps surprising the scientific community with new mutations, and new symptoms and side effects. Until a cure is discovered, uncertainty will continue to reign and more difficult times can be expected. As many as 75,000 more Americans could be added to the death toll of the pandemic, not due to natural causes but because they decided to end their own lives, according to an analysis by a national public health group. Suicide rates in the United States have risen by 35% overall since the year 2000, according to official data. Historically, economic distress, particularly deep recessions like the one experienced in 2008, have almost doubled the number of people who cut their lives short out of hopelessness. We have entered a new stage in humanity, a new era in which we must be connected to each other through positive reciprocal bonds, where everyone in society acts toward others like a loving mother embracing her dear child. Suicide is the worst decision a person can take. A desperate person reaches this most extreme resolution in order to escape the pain. In the minds of those who commit such extreme acts, life becomes a burden worth getting rid of, an ordeal without satisfaction. By doing so, they disregard the pain they inflict on their family and friends and manifest complete unwillingness to accept the conditions granted by life. They seemingly run out of strength to demand what they consider they are entitled to have in life, whatever it is. Instead of involving others to help work on finding solutions together, the suicidal person retreats into his own self-absorbed thoughts and whirlwind of emotions. While suicide appears to be the most personal of decisions, we carry a collective responsibility as a society for failing to create the necessary conditions for people to live healthy and happy lives. Such conditions would prevent people from reaching the ultimate state of despair, anguish and pain that takes them to the point where they feel life no longer makes sense. We must create mechanisms of mutual responsibility to guarantee that each person's most basic needs are met in order to be sure that each person has the essentials necessary for dignified existence. The light after the darkness. One should always be aware that whatever torments arise, they are given for our personal advancement, for the purpose of correcting our egoistic nature of self-gratification above any other consideration. Such low states of depression awaken the deepest point hidden within each of us, a spark aimed at a higher level of existence where the dark void is filled. As a foremost Kabbalist Rav Yehuda Ashlag, Baal HaSulam, writes, "In every person, even in the secular, there is an unknown spark that demands unification with God. When it sometimes awakens, it awakens one to know God, or deny God, which is one and the same. If someone generates the satisfaction of this desire in that person, he will agree to everything. Boundless satisfaction cannot be achieved by any one of us, alone. It can be achieved only through a good connection with others, and this creates the necessary field where the eternal source of fulfillment can be revealed. What is the right approach to helping someone in despair? We should not overwhelm them with exaggerated sympathy or patronize them. We simply need to express care, listen, be next to them, show them that they are not alone and they can count on their friends and family. We need to share with someone in despair the thought that there is light after the darkness. In the same way, every gloomy state is the preparation for a better reality, the perception of a new, positive state, since there is no filling without a lack. That new state of feeling that we are understood, protected, and embraced his waiting and will give us renewed passion for life and expand our horizons toward a meaningful life filled with meaning and purpose, joy and abundance. Medium published my new article If You Want to Love, Prepare for Hatred. Si vis pacem, parabellum, if you want peace, prepare for war, said the Latin author Vegetius. Likewise, if you want love, prepare for hatred. The movies show love as a constant flow of warmth, care, and affection between people. But the movies are wrong. Before every positive emotion there is preceded a negative one, which triggers the onset of the positive. Just as night precedes the day, hate precedes love. The only exception to that is a mother's love, but that's because the mother perceives her baby as part of herself. But with any other person, to develop real emotions, we must constantly shift between hate and love in different manifestations and varying intensities. It turns out that the fact that I have been made privy to my hatred toward this or that person allows me to discover who I am and what I have inside. In fact, I should be grateful to that person. In fact, this is the principle that sets all of creation into motion. The heat waves and cold spells, the floods and the droughts, the hate and the love, all these are alternating displays of hate and love. There is a purpose behind them. Their growing intensity, especially when it's on the negative side, prompts us to look for their source. Why is there so much hatred? Why is nature so cruel? Why am I never satisfied with what I have? Why is there no peace? Why am I afraid? When you try to answer those questions, you find that they come from the same invisible source, and that source is nature, or simply, reality. Every single mineral, plant, animal, or person, thought, desire, or word is created by nature. Now, if nature is the source of everything, then everything is part of nature, part of the whole. And just as there are days and nights, there are people I hate and people I love. So just as there wouldn't be days if there were no nights, there wouldn't be people I love if there wouldn't be people I hate. In fact, I wouldn't be able to define what I love, what I hate, who I am, and who I am not were it not for all those things that I regard as negative. It turns out that I, with my limited vision, see them as negative, but they are not, they are opposite from me so that I will be able to learn about myself and nature. Were it not for them, I would be clueless about my whole existence. It turns out that the fact that I have been made privy to my hatred toward this or that person allows me to discover who I am and what I have inside. In fact, I should be grateful to that person. The wisest of all men, King Solomon, called this concept, love covers all crimes, Prof. 10:12, where the crime is hatred and love covers the hatred once we discover that our hated object is actually a gift we have been given. At that moment, alienation dissolves and love and gratitude emerge. Michael Laitman, on Quora, if you imagine the psychological state of all humanity as an individual, how would you diagnose humanity at the moment? Is it becoming more or less sane or is it remaining fairly stable? Humanity is currently living under the rule of its egoistic nature, that is, a nature that makes each person prioritize self-benefit over benefiting other people, society and the ecology. Moreover, humans are the only part of nature under egoistic control. The rest of nature, from still matter through plant and animal life, is bonded integrally by altruistic ties. The human ego cuts us off from the sensation of nature's altruistic quality, making us disagree with thinking and wanting to benefit the system we exist in. In other words, contrary to the way cells and organs act to only receive what they need for their survival, and give all surplus for the benefit of the whole organism that they exist in, we think and want solely with what will I get out of it. At the basis of our every calculation, which leads us to even act detrimentally toward others in the name of personal gain. Nature has implanted this egoistic modus operandi into us, so that we would eventually realize how it leads us to an impasse, and desire to change our egoistic nature. Therefore, a diagnosis of humanity at its current state of development is that it is nearing such a revelation. At the moment, our egos make us increasingly destructive to each other and to our planet, and we also witness how nature becomes increasingly intolerant of our opposite mode of behavior. In other words, we head deeper and deeper into a crisis, but we have yet to reach such a depth where we will simply raise our hands and wish for the right kind of change. The coronavirus pandemic is a prime example of how nature reacts to our rampant unabated egoism today. With the coronavirus, nature has forced us to become more cautious with each other, that is, with the social distancing conditions implemented globally. If we fail to upgrade our attitudes to each other according to our own will, then nature sends us situations to do so against our will. However, I still see that we fail to draw the correct conclusions from this situation we are now in. We have reached no understanding of the deeper causes behind the virus, and avoid responsibility on our behalf for its spread. We merely await its end so that we can let our egos loose on the world once again, and remain blind to how nature will send us much more difficult states the more we neglect self-transformation. Until we reach the conclusion that our egoistic nature needs changing, we will continue trying to exploit nature by all possible means, failing to foresee the next smack nature will deliver us, to once again hint at how the way we are headed is incorrect. I thus hope that we will wake up to this change sooner rather than later, out of our own awareness, through learning how nature works, how we function within nature, and by exercising how we can accelerate this fateful change with our own efforts to invert our egoistic nature to an altruistic nature in balance with nature. When we eventually make that change, we will experience a completely new world of harmony, happiness, peace and tranquility, and will look back at our current state as a depraved one, the last throes of death of an egoistic paradigm before our greatest ever transformation. New Life 1160. The Perfect Law.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitsumasaz. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about the Constitution. We're living in Israel for more than 70 years now, and we don't have a Constitution. We'd like to understand, what is it? Should we have one? What should it include, if so? Be with us. It's going to be really interesting. Nitsa, please. Yeah, a constitution, even though that we don't have a formal constitution, but we do have basic laws. With the purpose of creating a certain framework in which our country can live in, exist in, that there's a certain order to things, there are relationships with clear principles between citizens and government, between the citizens themselves, meaning it's supposed to give a certain infrastructure for order, for a certain basis that connects society. But we don't have a constitution. Dr. Lightman, not only that we don't have a constitution, we have no inclination toward that. We're afraid of even starting to talk about it. Nitsa. True, and this fear started from the very establishment of the State of Israel, and this is the reason for which we said, okay, let's put that aside and have basic laws. We have 13 of those that were legislated over time. They weren't all legislated at once. And really, the Jewish people, the State of Israel, the people of Israel are really sensitive to this. And because of this, no one really wants to write the Constitution. There were several suggestions over time, but none really came to be. And now we'd like to talk a bit about the State of Israel, the people of Israel, and the Constitution. We're living in a time where we all understand, it's not a secret anymore, that we're one nation, or at least we want to be one nation. It's not really working out. meaning that we're living in the same place, but we can't really come together as a society and advance in a good way. We see that even though that we are developing in terms of technology and things like that, but we're not developing socially in any good direction towards something better, that the laws are really something that's helping us to advance towards something better. And therefore, I'd like to ask, how do you actually see the forming of a constitution that will advance the people of Israel to become a more advanced and developing society, for us to really become a society that all of us would like to see here? Dr. Leitman, we already talked about this on our previous shows, I think, that we can't determine anything because there is no adhesive, there is no connection between us. There's nothing to connect between us. Nitza, the current laws, they don't connect us. This we see in practice. It's clear that the basic laws aren't really turning us into a society. Dr. Leitman, laws are good if there is a kind of connection between people, but if there's no connection, what law can establish it? Nitza, so there are no laws that actually establish the connection between people? Dr. Leitman, right. And there can't be. We are the most egoistic nation. We're divided into many cultures and philosophies, and we can't really integrate with each other. There are so many parodies about it, about the relations between those that came from Yemen and those that came from Germany, and the North Africans and the North Americans, and who not? Not even to mention the Russians and the Israelis. It's impossible. It's impossible to altogether think that it's possible to connect people that are so far apart from each other, that are so broken, that disregard each other so much, with the great big ego that everyone has. The nation of Israel isn't like any other nation where the ego is small. Here the ego is big, and therefore anyone who's greater than his friend, his desires are greater than his. And so we have a big problem here. And so many years went by. And what we see is that maybe in 100 or 200 years something will happen. But over this period of 80 years, there is some kind of change. And the relations between the Ashkenazians and the Sephardics, between the Eastern cultures, that among them too there was a big separation in the past. And today, who knows that you're from Afghanistan and Pakistan, and he's from Libya and from someplace else. Nitza. But then you have other gaps that we didn't have in the beginning, like much greater economic gaps and so on. Dr. Leitman, well, economic gaps don't really have to do with a person's ethnic origin. And I don't think that all of this can give us something good for the future. And we won't be able to bridge these gaps. We see it especially during election season. The gaps and divisions that you have there, it's hard to digest. And what's going to happen? Until life will teach us in a very strict way. Nitza, I think that we're already in pretty advanced stages in this regard. We already see non-simple states. Some say that it's a state of emergency. And this is the reason for which it's important to understand, can a constitution help us advance as a society and as a nation? And if so, how do you see it? You said that we're not connected, so no constitution talks about the connection between people. Dr. Leitman, first you have to have that, because we're a special nation. that you can't really call us a nation, because a nation is a kind of like extended clan, group, tribe that has some kind of a biological, genetical connection. And this is something that we don't have. And because we don't, therefore, we're not connected. In the past, there was the connection of love your neighbor as yourself in the days of Abraham or under Abraham. And around this principle, all those that lived in ancient Babylon and wanted to become a part of this joined under this rule. But today we have no inclination toward that. We have no Abraham to draw us toward it and oblige us to it. So everyone does what they see fit. Nitsa, can we say that love another as yourself is the basic constitution of the people of Israel? Dr. Leitman, the basic constitution according to which the Jewish people can exist is love another as yourself above all differences. And this is because we are a collection of nations. We're not one nation. And this is something that we have to take as the foundation, the basis for all the rest of the processes that we want to go through. Meaning, the basic principle of the Israeli constitution is that there is no Israeli nation before those people that are completely different and even estranged, before they understand, become aware that they come from completely different roots and that there's no connection between them, but they want to connect with each other above all differences. This is the basis for the people of Israel, even before they become a people. And afterwards, as it says, today you have become a nation, that above all differences, all rejections and the hatred and everything, we do understand that we have to connect and make a nation out of ourselves. And this nation can exist only if we draw these forces of connection and unity from nature, wanting to connect above our ego. Nitsa, above the ego that exists between us. Dr. Leitman, yes, the ego is a natural force that exists between us, Nitsa, that separates us, that causes us to criticize others and so on. Dr. Leitman, everything. Nitsa, okay, so just to understand about love another as thyself. After we came to Israel, after we were in the diaspora, dispersed in the diaspora for many years, and we started establishing our state after we came here, and we built parliament and the laws and everything that we did in order to make a kind of state, nation out of ourselves, what did we not yet add to the existing basic laws? What basic law did we not add that maybe because of which we're not a nation yet? Dr. Leitman, we did not realize this basic law and we don't want to acknowledge it to this day. All in all, what we wanted here is to build a haven mostly made up of socialists, revisionists, and so on, who came from Russia and wanted to build here something more successful than the Bolsheviks didn't succeed in making in Russia. That's it. And there's no correct ideology or foundation here for the people of Israel, but it's just an ingathering of exiles. Owen, so what basic law is missing, Dr. Leitman, that we're acting, operating within one law that has to unite us, and we have to learn from this force about how to connect, that love covers all crimes, like it was with Abraham, our patriarch, who actually founded the nation. We have to learn from those basic laws that Abraham set back then for all those that came to him in ancient Babylon who wanted to connect. Owen, what basic laws did he establish? Dr. Leitman, love covers all crimes, meaning that I am going to connect with everyone above all of my crimes, above my entire ego. Mine, not that of others. Owen, I don't exactly get it. Dr. Leighton, I don't like you, and I don't like her. In the best case scenario, I'm indifferent toward you. I don't care what happens to you. I don't even want to think about any of you. So, I have to get education. I have to be taught. I have to get a kind of education that will bring me closer to you. So that I will want to be connected with you the same way I'm connected to myself. And I'm not exaggerating here. The way I'm connected to myself, because it's called love another as yourself. As yourself means even more than you love yourself, because surely you love yourself naturally. Owen, why would I like to be connected with you like I am to myself? Dr. Leighton, because this is the law of nature that we live in. And in order to acknowledge this law of nature, we feel how all the opposite forces are operating on us. Owen, I didn't understand your answer. I asked you, why would I like to be connected with you the way I'm connected with myself? You said that it's the law of nature. What law of nature? Dr. Leighton, I think we talked about this on our previous show, that in order to acknowledge, understand, perceive the good, I have to grasp the bad. As it says, the light excels from the darkness. And therefore, we have to be drawn to the good and not to be afraid of the appearance of the bad. Oh, and what does it mean to be drawn to the good, Dr. Leighton? To connection between us. Oh, and why is that good, Dr. Leighton? Because that's the general law of nature. That says that we're all connected in one system as one man in one heart, and love covers all crimes. Meaning, all the distance between us, the shatterings between us, all the forms of ego that exist and appear between us, I have to cover all of that with love, even though that I hate, even though that I reject. Nitsa, I think that there was such an experiment in the beginning of the path that since it was clear to the leaders that there are serious gaps, because each of us came from a different place, so there was an attempt to create some one common culture for everyone with one language and everything. There was an attempt to make something more connected out of us. Dr. Leighton, of course, by bringing a Yemenian, for example, wanting to erase their entire culture, bring the North Americans and making the same out of them. That's called one culture, one education, Nitsa. And that's not called love another as yourself, Dr. Leighton. That's called hate, not love. Love covers all crimes, meaning we have to keep all the crimes, the differences between us, and cover them with love. And all differences, they remain. Everything remains. Nitsa, so you're actually saying that the differences between us have to remain. It's not something that we have to try and erase or try to make everyone the same, Dr. Leighton. To the contrary, Nitsa, so we have to keep the differences, and upon them, we have to make some kind of connection, unity. Dr. Leighton, see how it is to this day? What are we proud about today? That we became one nation. Ben Gurion or someone was really proud. Look, here in the land of Israel, we're one nation, one culture. This is a lie that destroys everything. We had to actually keep what everyone has and to respect all the differences between us. And above that, to reveal love towards someone who's different from me, and actually the difference between us is what I respect and love, and then we would understand what love is. Nitsa, do you really see this process as something coming from the leadership, or it's a process that the nation itself went through, or what? Dr. Leighton, comes only from education, and the leadership back then They were completely lacking education in this regard altogether. We see it today more than ever. Nisa, meaning the results. Today we see the results. So let's put it this way. Right to ask you now. Look, the people of Israel. The Israeli leadership. Everyone's perplexed. It's pretty clear to everyone. It's not really clear where are we going, how should we get there. What would you offer us? The first thing to do, Dr. Lightman, I'd offer to start a very crucial, important, basic process called the education of the nation, Nitsa, where the basic principles, Dr. Lightman, of nature will be taught in favor and against how nature is working with us in order to teach us how to be adhered with it. Nitsa. And you're saying that only from studying the principles of nature, only from there can we start developing and understanding, Dr. Lightman, the kind of constitution we need. Nitsa. So you're saying that if these principles are unclear, it's all under question mark, then you can't build any serious plans, no strategy, no diplomacy, no nothing that can really benefit us as a nation and as a country. Dr. Lightman, true. Nitsa, why is it such a basic condition? Dr. Lightman, because without that we will not be a nation, and without being a nation we will not be able to realize our unique, special, historic destiny of correcting the world. And without that we will not be able to exist altogether as the Jewish people and the Jewish state and history and the universe and in general. The calculation with us is completely different. Nitsa, I want to ask about your vision, because leaders want a certain vision. Suppose we do what you said. We learn the principles of the laws of nature. How will this affect the structure of the country, the structure, the entire form of our existence on the political level, on every level, understanding these laws and principles? Dr. Lightman, we will know how to act with each other, toward each other. We'll know how to treat nature. We will know how to connect with the general upper force called nature. By this we'll know, out of our behavior, how to activate it practically, in a concise way, to activate it in a good way, correct way, to the benefit of humanity, to the benefit of nature, and then for sure it will be good. And by that, we will be able to prepare reality for ourselves, for our children, grandchildren. Nitsa, will our entire infrastructure go through some kind of change as a result of this process, the systems that we have built? Dr. Lightman, everything will change. Especially nature will change. It will be much more friendly. We won't feel such climate blows. Nitsa, the ecosystem will be immediately affected by it. Dr. Lightman, yes. And also humanity will start feeling that there is something besides preparing itself for war all the time. Oh, and you talked about preparing for war. And one of the principles we talked about was that the general law of nature says that we're all connected in one system. Now you mentioned war. On the one hand, you're saying that all of us are in the system of nature, and in this big system that you call nature, all the parts in it are connected in one system, interconnected. On the other hand, you said that the nation of Israel is an example for a nation with so many differences and estrangement. if we're so divided and different. So I want to understand, and you're saying that we're connected in one system, and on the other hand, that life shows us that we're very far from each other. Dr. Lightman, connected by the upper force, distanced by our own forces. Owen, explain. Dr. Lightman, we're in two opposite forces. By the upper force, the force of nature, we're in it. We're in nature, in one force. In terms of our relations, by our relations, we reject each other and are in the opposite system. And therefore, our situation is so problematic. Oh, and what now? Dr. Lightman, and now we're in contradiction with nature, and our life from one day to the next is only unfolding for the worse. Oh, and what do we have to do in order to make things better? Dr. Lightman, if we acknowledge that we're in one global integral nature and that our entire good fortune depends on the measure to which we identify with nature, oh, what do you mean to identify? Dr. Lightman, to be nicely connected between us. Nitsa. So, there's the upper force, there's our separating force, and there's love another as yourself. How does that work together? Dr. Lightman, suppose. Nitsa. So, what's the model at the basis of this constitution? Dr. Lightman, the basis of this model is that we don't say that at the top there's the upper force, but we at the bottom have to be as the upper force, and then you have the upper triangle, and the lower triangle, and a David star. Nitsa. This is interesting. But still, I'd like to understand the connection between the upper force, the force that separates us, the ego, and love another as yourself. Dr. Lightman, love another as yourself is the realization of these two forces, the upper and the lower. Dr. Lightman, yes. Because through love another as yourself, one comes to loving this upper law of love the Creator, your God. Nitsa, and that's what's special about the Israeli constitution? Dr. Lightman, yes, and not only about Israel. This is something that we have to teach all the nations. This means to be light onto the nations. This is what the nations expect, and this is why they're demanding something of us all the time. Owen, so nature created us different to begin with, so we ourselves will learn how to connect as one, even though that we're different. Dr. Lightman, yes. Owen, what's the adhesive that can do it? Dr. Lightman, the adhesive exists in the upper force that will permeate us or will permeate him, doesn't matter how we put it, but we'll connect with him and this will be our adhesive, that this upper force will dwell between us all. Owen, practically wise, what is that? Dr. Lightman, for the power of love, for the force of connection to dwell among us. Oh, and why doesn't it dwell among us now, but the force of separation does? Dr. Lightman, you don't want it. You don't. You're not asking. Oh, and we have to ask? Dr. Lightman, yes. Oh, and ask for what? Dr. Lightman, for divinity to dwell among us. I know that it's a bit... Oh, and it's kind of religious, Dr. Lightman. Not at all. It means that the upper force of bestowal and love for it to dwell among us. Nitsa, maybe, okay, I'll ask. What will the Israeli constitution look like when it will be based on these three forces? Dr. Lightman, the force of love will dwell in the entire world, and on that day there will be one force that will fulfill everything. Nitsa, and our country, our nation, what will it be like? Dr. Lightman, connecting all countries and nations under this love. Oh, and at the end of this process, what does humanity look like, Dr. Lightman, as one family? Oh, in which everyone's different? Dr. Lightman, yeah, like the Prophet writes, and everyone's different. Oh, and so what makes them one family? Dr. Lightman, the principle that we all have to support each other, precisely because we're all different. From that, we have a very rich system that's entirely based on a strong unity. Oh, unity out of diversity? Dr. Lightman, yeah? Oh, and it's like the opposite. Dr. Lightman, not at all. Even the appliances, the devices that you build are built that way. is how an atom works. Everything consists out of plus and minus, a thing and its opposite. And here it's on the human level. You understand the intensity in which you feel the richness, eternity. Owen, so in conclusion, what do we have to ask for? You said you're not asking. What do we have to ask for? Dr. Lightman, only for the connection between us to become revealed. Or another way is that you reveal that upper force for him to become revealed among us. This is what you ask for. That's it. Come and tie us together. That's it. We don't need anything else. Without you, without this force, we can't connect. We only hate each other. And with you, we'll succeed for sure. Owen, I know many people that do not believe in the higher force. Dr. Lightman, it's not a higher force. It's a force that exists in nature. We're only using the negative force. We only reject each other, or we cunningly use one another. Try to think how to draw the upper force, and you'll see how suddenly you feel that the entire world is spread before you. Owen, so what exact force am I drawing? Dr. Lightman, the force of connection. That's all you need. By the force of connection, you get an emotional, intellectual, practical intensity, power, that there's nothing like it, and everything opens before you. First of all, eternity, and everything's possible. Dr. Lightman, thank you very, very much. Thank you, Nitsa. Dr. Lightman, this is the Israeli Constitution. Thank you very much.
We will not fly anywhere. Question. The theory of the space program is gaining more and more influence. Scientists claim that the Earth needs to be unloaded from industry, which affects the climate of the planet. Ideally, by the end of the century, we should take the entire polluting industry out into space. The Earth must be turned into an ecological paradise, an extremely comfortable safe zone. Sooner or later, people will work in space, and the planet should become a place for life and recreation. The Earth is a pearl whose glitter must be preserved, and not destroyed. Do you agree with this theory? Answer: when we stay here and transfer everything into space, then there will be hell here, not heaven. I do not believe and have never believed in the initial good in man. So if we do not correct the person, then it will not help us to transfer anything anywhere. And if we correct man, there will be no need to take anything anywhere. We can quietly do what is necessary here: industry, education, upbringing, and so that everyone would be happy. The main thing is not to rush anywhere. We want to run away so that we do not really need to decide anything. The biggest problem is people. Every problem must be solved in such a way that everyone is happy. Not some specific person or at someone's behest, but everyone. Until we reach such a consensus, there is nothing we can do either in space or on Earth. We need to be busy only with this. Question: do you think that a person can believe in this reality, that the last man on Earth would feel good? That humanity can live like this? Looking currently at humanity, how can people reach this? Answer: it is precisely through the awareness of evil. Because through the awareness of evil, we will get to the need to correct the world, to correct ourselves. Therefore, simultaneously with the revelation of evil, it is necessary to show that it is evil, and how we can still get rid of it, what good should be. I think we are heading for this. I am an optimist. Question: that is, evil is that I do not want to help others, I do not love anyone, and I am only concerned with myself? Answer: yes. This is our personal egoism. Question: it overwhelms me, and I want to get rid of it. Is this what I need to get to? Answer: no, not just get rid of it. I must see that it harms me. Otherwise, how will I get rid of it? I see that it is to my detriment, and only then I decide that I have no other choice, and I must get rid of egoism. There should be the awareness of evil, and then correspondingly the awareness of good. That is, a man will see that there is a positive force in nature. When I feel very bad, I will see it. I will start asking, what am I supposed to do? Question: what should I do to build heaven on earth? Answer: to build heaven on earth, you need to build a man. Not in space, but on earth. Build it clearly. It is necessary to give man a clear guideline, what it means to be a human being. We have no other choice, we are obliged to achieve the correct, kind attitude toward each other. In this, I would like to emphasize, our only assistant is our egoism. It points out where we need to correct it. Not to destroy, but to build a good relationship above it. Here we must solve all this among ourselves and create a system of correct education. Nothing can be done without raising a new man. Whether we want it or not, it does not depend on us, but on the amount of suffering that we will feel. We are currently entering a period of suffering that will force us to want to correct ourselves. And in Kabbalah, instructions are given on how to do this. So I hope that we are present at the birth of a new humanity, and we can still even see it. Comment: that is, we will not leave the earth, nor will we transfer anything from here. My response: no. These are some kind of ridiculous ideas. This is not what can be done with our technology and our internal parameters. Question: are we tied to the earth as if with an umbilical cord? Answer: of course. A man will not fly anywhere without answering his own question about what he is and what he should be. The entire cosmos is only given so that we understand that here, on earth, we must make all our corrections. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, May 25, 2020. Do we form our environment? Question: society affects us, totally. Firstly, it promotes unrestrained consumption, and the individual has no freedom of choice. He just has to keep buying. Secondly, public opinion affects people's minds. For example, there were experiments where people were given cheap wine but were told that it was expensive, costing several $100, and they enjoyed it. Do you agree with the statement that first we form our environment, and then it forms us? Answer: the question is, are we shaping our environment? After all, there are many other factors around, such as family, friends, society, and time. Everything without exception pushes a person to some certain choice. However, in general, if there is free choice, it is only in the choice of the environment. Therefore, we need to educate people so they understand how to use this choice. Question: in our life, everything is determined by the scale of values accepted by society. These values, in turn, are determined by our desires. What is the way to change social values if it all depends on desire and desire depends on nature and the time period in which we live? Answer: I can nevertheless choose a certain society, a group in which I will develop, and it will be very different from other groups. For example, there are people who acquire a certain profession and work on themselves according to a certain program, but they are all very different from each other. After all, society consists of many fractal mini-societies, sometimes completely unrelated to each other. From CAB TV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, May 7, 2020. Managing Stress, Part 2. In the World of Disturbances. Comment: scientists believe that today's life is full of stressful situations. A person rushes to work and drops off children to daycare on the way. Because of this, they may be late for work, which leads to conflicts, they may be fired, and so on. However, only 100 to 200 years ago, such things did not exist. My response: we can define stress that a person experiences as a force of huge external pressure. We live in a world of disturbances that press on a person every second. Besides, our life is very artificial. Previously, a person understood in a natural way where he was and what was happening around him. He had a home and family, worked in the fields, in the garden, and so on. Today, however, he is surrounded by such a huge field of completely different sources of pressure that cause him not just a lack of understanding of the situation, but a reaction to it in the form of stress. From CabTV's Management Skills, June 25, 2020. What is of greater concern to us, good news or bad news? Comment: it is known that mass media influences personal development. However, bad news, meaning any acts of violence, military clashes, or natural disasters, consistently get much more screen time than reports about people who treat each other well, help each other, or try to prevent brutality. And the viewer is more attracted to it. My response: sure. If I watch a program on TV that talks about the horrors of war, clashes, conflicts in the government or between people, I am more concerned about it because I may become involved in such events and be harmed. While good programs that talk about people gathering, talking, singing, or working together, helping in hospitals, etc., do not pose any danger to me. Thus, I treat it matter-of-factly and may have somewhat of a dismissive attitude about this. Comment: I must note that there have been attempts to broadcast only positive news, but they were not popular at all. My response: naturally. It doesn't trouble a person. A person feeds on negative news, suffering, and tragedies. Even in music and art, any great meaningful works are always tragic and comedies are taken lightly. People have a casual appreciation of them. From CabTV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, April 30, 2020.